to the bridge. We have a bunch of announcements with the upcoming week, with Easter being next week. We've got some things going on. So let me get my dates in order here. So Wednesday will be the first one. No prayer circle on Tuesdays for a little bit. But if you have prayer requests, certainly let us know. Wednesday will be the men's group at Jim and Sylvia's house. So if you have any questions, want to attend that, please let us know. We'll be happy to get you connected with Jim on that. So men's group, 7 o'clock. There will be the book study Wednesday at 7 o'clock via Zoom, working through the book called The Cure. So if you're interested in attending that, you can jump onto the Zoom. All of the links for the Zoom are on our website. Then Friday will be a Good Service Friday at 7 o'clock via Zoom. What'd I say? Good Service Friday. Good Friday service. On Friday at 7 o'clock via Zoom. So Patricia will just kind of lead us through the last hours of Jesus' life, that kind of thing. So it's just kind of centering ourselves for the week, the weekend to come. And then Saturday morning, there will be the normal weekly retreat at 10 o'clock via Zoom. And then Chad's going to do an online Sunday, Easter Sunday sunrise service. Say that a couple times. via Zoom, 7 o'clock. On Sunday morning. So just kind of a sunrise service, just talking about, you know, them coming to the tomb empty and just the celebration of that. And then, of course, we'll meet here at 10:30 for our Easter service. So invite your friends to that, friends and family. Hopefully we can celebrate. It is one of the few times of the year that we all like to dress up. So we're a very casual church for the most part, but we like to kind of do a celebration of Jesus on that day and dress up fancy. So wear your fancy clothes that day. Your church clothes that day to church. That's pretty much it. I mean, the only other thing we have, our youth Sunday is the youth group on the last Sunday of the month. So if you're interested in attending that, please come here the last Sunday, and that's 7th through 12th grade. So a lot of announcements this morning, but hopefully it can just be a peaceful, restful celebration of a week for you. As we center on Easter Sunday. G? Mariah?
Morning, everybody. That's a new thing, isn't it? All right, let's pray. Dear God, amen. All right, you can have a seat. Yeah, a lot of people right now are dealing with a lot of things. So that time where we it's silence and we think about all the things that are happening, just now's a really, really important time to reach out. Reach out to different people, reach out to your neighbors. Yeah, everybody's going through different kinds of things. So maybe that's important right now more than any other time, maybe. Okay? So Palm Sunday, and I was thinking the last couple of weeks, this is our 10th Palm Sunday here, and I can't say that I have ever given a Palm Sunday message, just a straight Palm Sunday message. I stay tied to four dates: Christmas, New Year's, Easter, and Father's Day. Those are the four that I, or Bull Elephant's Day. Those are the four that I stay tied pretty closely to. But I never have for Palm Sunday. We talk about it, all of that stuff. But I couldn't shake the thing. And I was going to just continue on the Sermon on the Mount, because what better way to celebrate the King, the coming of the King, than to follow his teaching? But I couldn't shake this feeling that Palm Sunday had something for us, and it didn't feel, it felt like we had to dive into that. So the title of today is, What's Palm Sunday and Why Do I Care? Okay, so Palm Sunday is the last Sunday in Lent. So if anybody gave up chocolate, you're almost done. Or you are done. Is that how today's the last day, right? Or are we? Okay, you're almost done if you gave up chocolate. Okay, last Sunday in Lent and the Sunday before Easter. It moves around like Easter. It's just always the week before. Okay, and the thing about Palm Sunday is that every story has a beginning. Right? Every single story has a beginning. There's no story without the beginning. There's no part two without the part one. And this is the part of what's called Holy Week. We all know about Thursday, which is the Last Supper. We all know about Friday, which is the crucifixion. We all know about the emptiness of Saturday, and we certainly know about Sunday. As Kathy says all the time, we are Easter people. So there's no Easter without today, without Palm Sunday. There's no resurrection without today. And over in the scriptures, if you read the accounts of the Gospels, you see over and over and over, Jesus is, quote, going to Jerusalem. He leaves places. He moves on when maybe he should be staying. There's this one amazing account where he's healing a bunch of people and leaves them there. Like, there's a huge line and leaves the line there because he's going to Jerusalem. He's got somewhere to be, and he's coming. That's the whole driving force of Jesus' whole life. This is where everything is leading. So Palm Sunday, what's Palm Sunday? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Because we don't get to Sunday without Palm Sunday. Now, the interesting thing, we don't get to Resurrection Sunday without Palm Sunday. Now, the interesting thing is, and it's kind of more unusual than you think, it's in all four of the Gospels. There aren't an awful lot of stories that are in all four of the Gospels. Okay, it's Matthew 21, John 12, Mark 11, and Luke 19. And here's the thing. This is the thing that kind of drove it for me this week, and it put me in a really, really interesting place that we'll talk about. It is called, probably in every one of your Bibles when you open it. You know how there's those little headings that aren't actually part of the scriptures, but they break things up for you really nicely? This one is always called the Triumphant Entry of Jesus. The Triumphant Entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And I guess so. I guess so. The whole time, this is what was sitting with me. Today's a day of celebration, and it's a triumph. And I guess so. But the thing is, there are a lot of things that make this not so triumphant. There are a lot of things that I couldn't shake. I really wanted to be a rah-rah today, where we all go, rah, it's great, it's so awesome. I couldn't, because yes, it's a triumph, but there's a lot more that's happening here. So let's unpack a little bit and get to where I believe that that all of this is leading. There's no talk about Palm Sunday without talk about a donkey, right? This story hinges on a donkey, right? This is all about a donkey. And every one of the stories, two guys go get a donkey, bring it back to Jesus. It fulfills prophecy, and it comes back. And the donkey is super, super thick with meaning. It's not just, hey, donkey. I had a guy once tell me, we were talking about Adam and Eve, and I said, the biggest problem for me is how it says, she gave some to Adam who was with her. And that always drove me crazy, and it still does, because it speaks to the passivity of me and all of us and all of that. And a guy looked me right in the face and goes, I think you're reading too much into this. I think that's just words. And I think that so few words in the Bible are just, hey, words. Like I use words, you know, I just throw them off all the time. I use a million words when 10 will do. But I don't think the Bible is that way. So I think that when they say a donkey, that's important. So what's a donkey? First part of it is, in the book of Matthew, Jesus riding in on a donkey is a fulfillment of the prophecy from Zechariah. Okay, that's a really big deal. And the verse is Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is 400, 500, 600 years before this event. Okay? What's happening? Jesus, his life, death, resurrection, birth, was the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies. And this is one of them. So all of these prophecies were made hundreds and hundreds of years before, and he fulfilled them to the word. Okay? So this is one, and that's a big deal. It's in Matthew. That's significant because Matthew is writing to the Jewish people. All the guys in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke, are all writing to a specific audience. Matthew is writing to the Jewish people. The Jewish people know all of this. So when he's pointing out all of these things, they know exactly what he's talking about. He's saying the fulfillment of all of these scriptures here today, and I'm going to show you how it is. So that's Matthew's point. One of them is Zechariah. Now, a donkey is a symbol of service, suffering, peace, and humility. And I think those words speak to Jesus pretty well. Jessica Sager says, Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey represents his crowning as the Prince of Peace. As kings were said to ride donkeys on peaceful journeys. Isn't that interesting? If they were coming in aggression, if they were coming in war, they're riding a horse. Now that's interesting because in literature and especially the Bible, donkeys were used for lots of different things. Horses, not much. Horses were used for shows of aggression. Horses were used for chariots. Horses were used for armies, building armies. Horses were used for war, dominance, and violence. So, interesting thing about that is when you read the kings, the story of the kings, when Solomon says he starts building horses and chariots, that's important. He starts gaining all of these horses. That's important. Because this whole thing that was supposed to be a different kind of kingdom isn't under Solomon. Now Jesus coming on a donkey says this is a different kind of kingdom. Not coming in dominance, but coming in peace, coming on the donkey. Cool, right? So here's the scene. He's on the donkey, and he's riding. And as he's riding, all of these people start cutting branches. And now they're palm branches, and I can't tell if palm branches were symbols before this or they became symbols, but now they're symbols of victory over sin, peace, and eternal life. It sounds like they became symbols later. I don't know that for a fact. They could have been before, but there are palms. They cut them. They throw them on the ground, as you would do for a king that's coming in. And they're taking their cloaks off. They're throwing whatever they have on the ground. Okay? This is the scene. This is the scene. It's kind of raucous. And it has one of my favorite verses in the scriptures, which is when they say to Jesus, tell them to be quiet. He says, if they're quiet, the stones will cry out. And I love that. I love that because it feels like even as no matter how we move and we live, there's so much that's testifying to the love and the grace of Jesus all around us. Even if we don't, there's plenty happening. There's plenty going on. There's a crackling that's rich. There's an electricity all the time. We just have to see it. We just have to open our eyes and ears to see all these things and hear all these things. So they're throwing them all down. They're shouting praise. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which just means save us, deliver us. I heard a very wise woman on Saturday say it was like a plea. Rescue us. That's what was happening. And they're cheering. It's this crazy scene. And it's awesome. Ian Paul says, not for Jesus, flowers and garlands like it would be for a king like Alexander. I was reading all of these examples of this kind of scene. And there's flowers, and there's horses, and there's pomp and circumstance. That's not what this is. But ordinary cloaks and branches, not for him the splendor of a conquered army and his own troops, but peasant crowds and even children. He rides not on a war chariot, but on a young donkey. He hasn't come to conquer the city. He hasn't come to conquer anything, but to be conquered, to quote, give his life as a ransom for many. This is not a ride to victory and glory, but a ride to service and death. Now, that's when we see something else is happening here, right? This isn't necessarily just a triumph because there's tons happening here. It is so thick with the Bible, every word in the Bible means something here, and it means here, and here, and here, and here, and here. It's why the Bible reads us as we move. Why nothing stays the same for us. You can't step in the same river twice. You can't read the same Bible twice because we're different. Okay? So, this is what's happening. Yeah, it's triumph. But, there's something else here. Turn to Luke 19, please. I want you to see when the story changes for me. Okay. Are you there? Luke 19. If I could see any of you when I put my head up, I would wear these all the time because I think they're so cool. And I think I look rad in them. But I have to take them off because I can't see you. Okay, Luke 19, 36. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down to the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, If they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. Yeah, are you there with me? Verse 41. Having a bit of trouble, too. That's funny. Wasn't prepared for that. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way of peace. But now it's too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited. Because you did not recognize it when God visited you. There is a different translation of the word wrath in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and that translation says, it's not an anger, it's a, you're missing it. You're missing it. It's a regret. It's a, you had all of this and you're missing it. That's how wrath can be translated. So Jesus is weeping. Now, I watch a lot of movies and I see a lot of victory in them because I really like violence and war and things like that in a movie, not in real life. And there's a lot of triumph. And I don't remember many of the triumphant heroes weeping at the end of it. So why? Why is he doing this? In Jewish oral tradition, you could hear it in the red letters in my Bible. The son of David was prophesied as riding on a donkey if the tribes of Israel were undeserving of redemption. That reminds me of that word wrath, right? There are people who have missed it. He was there, he lived there, and they missed it. That's one. Two, he's got a week ahead of him. He's got a week ahead of him. Three, part of what he talks about there is in 35 years, roughly, from this moment, the second temple is going to be raised. It's going to be destroyed. That's what's happening. That's what's happening here. The next thing a donkey is, a donkey is a narrative turning point in the Bible and in other literature. I didn't know this. Super cool. When you see a donkey, something's about to change. They're marked, these change moments, these turning points are marked through a donkey. For instance, leading a donkey, saddling a donkey, mounting a donkey. In the Old Testament, talking to a donkey, Balaam's donkey. I guess it's called something else too. Dismounting a donkey. They're used to change, to illustrate a change in focus or a decision having been made. And I think that's exactly what it is here. I think that's exactly what it is here because, yes, decisions have been made. The focus has changed. This week is different from all others. There is weeping, and the following events are going to illustrate this change. This change in the mood, this change in the focus. I think this donkey changes everything. This moment. And I think that the donkey is probably our neon sign that says, heads up. Like through the scriptures, if you hear at midnight. If you ever read the words at midnight, your ears should perk up because something big's going to happen. Okay? There are these words that happen. The rest of this day, let's take the big picture and make it a little bit small because, sadly, we're not going to be here every single day this week. I'd like to. But it's all got to be today. So the rest of this day and the rest of this week, Matthew describes, from this moment, he goes into the temple and turns the tables over. We all know that, right? Because they're using his house as a house of robbers and thieves. Okay? They turned his house into the mall. So he turns the tables over. Then he heals a bunch of people, and then he goes and fights with the religious people. Feels a little bit like Jesus came to town looking to pick a fight, doesn't it? I mean, he comes in, he weeps, tells the story that I just said, and then he goes in and wrecks their shop. And then he starts fighting with anybody who will fight with him. Then he curses a fig tree in front of everybody, And then he keeps fighting with the religious people. That's the next couple days for Jesus. See? See? See what's happening? There's a thing happening here. This turning point, this Palm Sunday, what began as praise and celebration quickly becomes an angry mob that's demanding blood in less than a week. Think about it. I love you, right? Right? I think you're wonderful. Imagine if next week you came here and I wanted to fight you. You wouldn't understand that. That doesn't make any sense. Just last week you were giving me a hug in the narthex. And now what? Yep, get out. Right? That doesn't happen. In less than a week, these same people are going to want him dead. And get it? And now they're laying all their cloaks down. Yay! Save us. Okay? It's significant that as he weeps, he then exposes. He takes off the image and exposes the hearts of the people, and in this week exposes how fragile their devotion can be. That's what we're finding here. And now, you knew it was coming. You probably know exactly what the next sentence is that I'm going to say. This leads us to ask a bunch of questions about our own hearts, our own devotion. Is our devotion this fragile? And I know that we say, not mine, but guess who else said that? That exact same thing, Peter. Peter, I would never do that. And then he does three times. Immediately. If we learn anything from the scriptures, it's that these people we're not that far removed. So now we start asking the questions and start to take off the image and take off the masks of our own hearts. People are throwing their coats, cutting down branches, singing and shouting. They are taking all they have to throw and throwing it on the ground in front of him. They're taking everything they have and doing it. What are we giving? There's this great line in Avengers where he says, what are you prepared to do? What are we prepared to give? Jesus is walking down our street. What are we going to do? What are we going to do then? So many times, over and over and over, the Bible asks the exact same question. Has anybody ever heard the story of Cain and Abel? Maybe. Okay. What happens is Cain kills Abel, right? Why? Is because Abel gives God the first fruits. He gives God the best of what he has. Cain does give. But he gives some. He gives some of what he has. And like we do with our kids, you know, here's this thing with our kids. If one of them is misbehaving and the other one is cleaning their room up, we'll say, really good job to clean your room up. And we kind of don't even talk about this one. That's Cain and Abel. God says, thank you, Abel. Thank you. This is first. And Cain's mad because we're always mad when we're called out a little bit. And then he goes and kills his brother. And then in one of the craziest lines of the Bible, he says, am I my brother's keeper? Of course. Of course. Of course we are. It's the silliest question. It's one of the silliest questions in the Bible. I find. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, yeah. A, you just killed him. B, yes. Okay. Do we give the best, or do we give some? Okay. Next, Ananias and Sapphira. Has anybody ever heard those words? That's a little different than Cain and Abel, right? Maybe we haven't. Ananias is at a different spot in the Bible, too, and it's a great story. This one's not. Early church, everybody was bringing everything they had. Okay. You'd sell some property, and you'd bring it to the church. Everybody would get it. Okay. And they'd split it between who needs it. Okay? Ananias and Sapphira bring some, but it's not all of it. Now, they didn't have to. It was never mandated. The disciples weren't saying, I need all the money. They brought the money, and they said, is this it? And they say, yeah. And it wasn't. They lied. And then Ananias came by himself. Ananias said, yeah, that's it. And it wasn't. He lied. And then God struck him dead right there. And then Sapphira comes in later, and they say, oh, we got all the money. Was this really all there was? Yep. Same thing happens to her. Is that what we're doing? We don't have to give. We don't have to throw the things down. It's coming out of our hearts. Where are our hearts? Right? Are we Ananias and Sapphira? Are we Cain? Are we Abel? Are we these other disciples who actually were selling their property to bring it all? Because that was their treasure. It wasn't their property anymore. It was Jesus. It was the church. Are we giving our best? Are we giving what we have? Or are we giving what we have left over? I know. Isn't that cool? Right at the perfect time. Is that what we're doing? What are we prepared to give this king with a donkey instead of a sword? We have a king who rides a donkey and doesn't carry a sword. In fact, one guy takes a sword out on his team and he says, put it away. You miss it all? Right? And the better question, why? Why? Why were they? Why were they giving all that they had? Why were they screaming and shouting? Why? A, was it because it was Jesus? Or because everybody else was? I know, you say, no way, that doesn't ever happen. Yeah, it does. Happens all the time. Maybe that's why. Maybe it was just a thing to do that day. Everybody else was, I'm excited, it's great. We went to see a basketball game, and I don't like any Philly teams. And I rooted like crazy for the Sixers that day. I'm sorry, Elisha. I should have been rooting for the Dallas Mavericks, but I was so happy for the Sixers. I wanted the Sixers to win, and I can't stand the Sixers. Because everybody else was. There's that thing that's happening. Was that why they were? Or were they saying, here's the Messiah. He's going to restore this. He's going to take the boot of the Romans off of our neck and put us back in charge again. That's what's going to happen. Maybe that's why they were cheering. And then over the week, they realized that's not how it's going to go. And that could change somebody's mind in a hurry. So why are they? And why are we? Why are we here? Why are all of us going to get dressed up next week, bring everybody we know to the bridge, right? Everybody we know, our neighbors, everybody that we work with. We're all going to get dressed up and come here, fill this place and just scream at the top of our lungs. When I say he's risen, there's going to be 1,000 people say, indeed. Why are we going to do that? That's a question, right? That's a question. Why are we giving this 2 hours or hour and a half on a Sunday morning? Why? And if are we just giving that hour? Or are we just giving that hour and a half if we don't have anything else going on? Boy, Palm Sunday's a different day, different kind of day, right? What will this next week mean for us? What will we do in the presence of the King? Will our hearts, will our faith, will our trust, and will our belief waver? Will we change our minds like so many did? Will we be exposed? Do we want him or do we want the gifts he gives? Right? Will we choose to protect and do whatever we have to protect our way of life? Our money, our stuff. Because don't get anything confused here. So much of this has to do with economics. So much of this has to do with who's getting paid and why. And the business of faith, which is so gross. So gross. But How hard do we fight for that? Will we fall asleep? Will we share in his broken body and shed blood as we betray him? Right? Palm Sunday. This week. No wonder. We all know. Let me finish my last question. Will we choose Barabbas like they all did? Remember, they get a choice. We'll let one of them go. This is Pilate's way of getting out of abdicating responsibility. All right, I'll let one of them go. Who? Which one? Jesus, who did nothing wrong, or Barabbas, a murderer? Man, will we choose Barabbas too? Right? Will we deny him, and will we hide? I'm really, really open about my struggle. I have some mental health issues. And they get real big at the end of winter, okay? They get real big. The month of March is really hard for me. But this week, it's no longer March. It's no longer March. I want to feel really good. And as I'm working on all of this stuff, dealing with it, I'm thinking, why am I so sad? Why does this hurt so much? No wonder. No wonder. If we love Jesus, this week's rough. It's hard. And yeah, of course. Why am I so sad? Because I work just the way that I was created to work. Because my heart is in perfect working condition. Because I should be sad. Because I should be broken. So, yeah, what a triumphant entry. What a great feel-good message today, right? I know it's a Sunday of joy and celebration, and all the other churches are cheering. And I know it's that. And yes, of course, right? We're invited to give to him. We're invited to say, yes, of course. We're invited to cheer, Hosanna, rescue us. Yay, it is a celebration. Of course it is. It is. But it's much, much more. It's much, much more. It's like if we take salvation and say it's just about forgiveness. It's just about my forgiveness. That takes this huge cosmic story and makes it about me. Right? It is about that. It is about that. It is about forgiving me. It is about my righteousness. Yes, it is. But about yours, and it's about the trees, and it's about the stones, and it's about all creation, all things. Yes, yes. We take these big stories and we make them small so we can understand them. So yes, it's a celebration. Yeah, but it's more. And it's the perfect example of two-hands theology. We talk about two-hands theology here, right? And I have two really, really great examples. And they're kind of the same example, but you'll understand. Tuesday, my boy is going to turn, the baby of my family turns 15 years old. The baby is 15 years old. And A, that's so great. That's so great. He's so awesome. He's huge. He now says to me, how's the weather down there? Because he's bigger than me. It's so great. He's awesome. My baby's 15. That's not cool. Yesterday he was born. He was this big. Yeah. Wednesday, he's not here. Donovan turns 11. You remember Donovan when he was born? The peanut. They were peanuts. They were peanuts. He's going to turn 11. That's awesome. And that's heartbreaking, right? It's two hands. We are asked to hold all this stuff with two hands. And we can. We can. We can celebrate and we can mourn. This week, we know, because of context, we now know what Friday means. Right? It's awesome. It's wonderful. And it's the worst thing. They're both. Okay, so, Chad, is it this or is it this? Yes. Yes, it is. Okay? And when I talk about my sadness, I am so deeply joyful at the exact same time. And I could have never explained that to you. I could have never explained that to you 20 years ago. I'm old enough now that I can say 20 years ago and that I was an adult then. Yeah, we don't even want to get into that. Okay, so this is also a time for reflection, okay? It's a time to reflect on his decisions, sacrifice, and commitment, and to reflect on our own. Both. Both. So, as I'm in this, I'm really heartbroken. And I can't say that I really wanted my heart broken. I really love those messages where I get to say, yay! I love them. But we don't always get a say when our heart gets broken or when we grow, right? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because who would choose it? Boy, I'd really like to have my heart broken this week. I have some open time on the schedule, so I'd really like to weep today. You know, no, we don't get to choose that, and we never would. So these things open us up and make us grow. I'll tell you, been doing this now 10 years, a little longer than that, at New Song, a little bit. And Palm Sunday means more to me today than it did last week. A lot more. So that's pretty cool. And that's just because Jesus cracked me open like an egg. Okay? But here we are. We're invited this week. We are invited this week into this reality, which is sometimes very, 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 very harsh of how we got here. We are, it's an invitation to, into the reality of what Palm Sunday is and why we care. And sometimes why we care so deeply. It's a reminder of what we are worth and what it costs. Okay? And if those last three words don't tear you up, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. And if you have any questions about how it means, how it speaks to your worth, give me a call. I'd love to tell you what you're worth. I would love to tell you how much Jesus thinks of you. I would love to tell you how much you're loved and how wanted and how the God of the universe would go through this week for you. Would love to tell you that. Anybody watching? Call 717-629-7167. Or email. That's fine. Or come to my house. 133 South Harris. Okay? When Jesus weeps for Jerusalem, he's weeping for us too. He's turning the tables over in our faith, too. He's turning the tables of our control over, too. When we say, yeah, those people that made it all about business. Really? Really, those people? Those people? So this week is our donkey moment, too. Right? This is our donkey moment. It's the narrative turning point in our lives, in our year, in our lives, that requires a decision, that asks for a change in focus, asks us, where's our trust? Where's our heart? The week ahead shows it has to be grounded in something more than experience. It can be that, right? It can be that too. But it has to be more than experience. It has to be more than some party. It has to be more than some crowd or some mob mentality that's screaming and yelling and chanting, and nobody knows why. Although they can be that too, or it's got to be more than what that guy can do for us, though it can be that too. Wonderful gifts. Wonderful gifts. Every time I look at my wife, I think about the wonderful gifts. You know, we're about to talk in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, how much better are the gifts that God would give you than parents would give to, something like that. And I look at her And I think I could have never imagined. I could have never imagined. But the second she's bigger than the one who gave the gift, everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. And that's why I wouldn't treat her with kindness, respect, care. That's where all of that gets mixed up. If I do, if I remember that she's the gift, not the giver, not more important than the giver. We still have things set out that my boys made in class. Here you go, Dad. Here you go, Mom. We leave them out. They're great, but they're not them. They're not them. So they can be about the gifts that were given. Yeah, they're that too. But those things alone won't hold up on Friday and Saturday. They won't sustain us this weekend. They won't sustain us this week and this weekend. That big party you were at is not going to sustain Saturday. Only he can. Only he will. That's it. Amen.
Please stand.
to